Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Scotland.
That would be really weird.
It would be weird, wouldn't it there, Robbie Falk, if the Strange Brew Coffee was in Scotland?
That'd be a heck of a haul to get there. But, it might be worth it.
We don't brew coffee in Scotland. We brew whiskey. Scotch. Lagavulin.
And then plenty of people put that in their coffee.
Aye, that's the way to start your morning.
That'll put hair on your chest.
Aye. That and a wee bit of haggis for breakfast. That's a man's meal there. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If the weather allows me to cook out this weekend, I'm putting some beef on the grill. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it because I don't know what the rain's going to be like. But if I can, I'm going to go get an eye of round and cook that and smoke that bad boy and cook that up and make some delicious beef. That's the great thing about
for Christmas. My dad did that for the first time. He'd ever done it before.
It's a great cut.
He was quite upset because it's a different kind of cook than what you do with like maybe a prime rib or something like that. It's a different kind of cut than that. So he was doing it for the first time and just wasn't really sure he did it correctly.
But
and then we cut into it and it was fine.
See, that's the thing.
He overcooked it, and that's the worst thing for a man.
Oh,
is if you overcook meat.
You cut into a piece of beef and it's gray.
Yeah.
It
takes all the life out of you.
One time I cooked some steaks and I walked away from the grill and it flared up while I was not by it. And I came back and my steak was just ruined. It was like already medium well. And I literally picked it up, threw it in the trash and drove and got something to eat. I was so mad. I was like, I couldn't talk. I was so mad.
You gotta do it sometimes.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully the weather will hold off and I can get out there. Hopefully you can too. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And you are looking for some good stuff because it's Father's Day. We're getting close to it. Get Dad a gift from College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Great shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever Dad's looking for, maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. We love a trip to Restaurant Tyler. We love to go there for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. There's never a time where you can say to me or Robbie, hey, do you want to go to Restaurant Tyler? And we'll be like,
literally never done it.
It's never happened in the history of mankind. So I will keep that streak going, too. Anytime Robbie wants to hit me up for Restaurant Tyler, he knows. It's the surest thing you can imagine, and you should do it too. This weekend or any weekend you're going to be in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them quickly, on your schedule. Need a bank that provides the level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball. Get his thoughts not only on this Mississippi State team and where they are right now. And I'll tell you right now, he likes them. He thinks they can make a run here in this postseason. But we'll get his thoughts on the coaching search as well. And he had some interesting ones, I think. So we'll get to that just a little later in the show. But let's start with this series. You and I talked about it at length over the past couple of weeks. The pressure There's still pressure for Mississippi State. They have to win this series if they want to go play in the postseason. There's no question about that. But had Missouri arrived here 0-27, there would be immense pressure on Mississippi State to not allow them to win a game. It would have been seen as it might have been seen as a hit to their resume to only win the series and lose that first game to Missouri. So Texas A&M did State a big favor last weekend by getting swept by the Tigers. So now my question is going to be, do you think this Missouri team is going to try to, you know, postseason's not happening, but do they want to finish strong, or is it just going to be a case of, all right, we're not going 0-30. We can just, you know, relax at this point. And you know, maybe Mississippi State comes up there and just, you know, they get game one and Missouri's just like, eh, whatever. I could see something like that happening.
Yeah. That, what really kind of makes me nervous about this is they went out and got the sweep.
Yeah, so they're
and
hot.
So now they're feeling confident, and they're you know, whenever they get down in a ball game, they might not look at the previous 24 games. They might look at the last three and what they've done the last three. It's kind of like what, on a lesser extent, what Mississippi State has done the last couple of weeks. When you look at a team that was 7-14 and every time something started to unravel, they started to kind of fall apart. And I don't think if they had that mindset last week, they would have beaten Ole Miss. But they did. So that's what happens in baseball. You can't really look at what someone has done for a full season. You got to look at kind of what they've been doing lately. The teams that are hot in the postseason are the ones that make the runs. Those are the ones that compete for national championships. They don't look at that's why I always say, I think the biggest thing for me is, like, how often are you getting to super regionals and getting yourself in position to get to Omaha, as opposed to how often are you getting to Omaha, how often are you winning national championship? Because when you get to Omaha and you get to national championship, a lot of those teams are not the best teams for an entire baseball season. A lot of those teams are the hottest teams at that time.
Very true. I mean,
and so
look no further than 90 miles to the north of here.
Correct. And 2018 Mississippi State, it was a team that had a losing record in SEC play most of the way, and they got hot at the right time. They got in a regional, they got in a super college series, so on and so forth. Now, Missouri is not going to get to postseason. No. They would have to win the SEC tournament, and that's not going to happen.
It's not going to
happen. Elimination. I can put my life savings down on them not winning. But for this weekend alone, in a three-game set where you're playing at Missouri against a team that has now found a way to win three games when they were finding ways to lose them, that does make you a little nervous going into this weekend if you're Mississippi State, I think. But the most important thing, I believe, is they are on guard for this weekend. I don't think State can come into this weekend at this point. I don't think I can definitively say that State is overlooking Missouri at all. You got
right.
Postseason basically on the line. They know where they stand in the postseason race. And they know that last week, Missouri went to Texas A&M. Not only did they beat Texas A&M in three games, they dominated them really in the last two. If you look at those last two games, so it was kind of interesting in game two, but they were dominating them pretty much the whole game. And then game three, they had two hits, I think, in the first eight innings, whatever. So it's a game, I think, that it's a series, I think, that Mississippi State is on guard. They understand what they have to do. At the end of the day, this is the least talented team in the SEC. They have 16 wins for a reason. So I think if Mississippi State plays clean baseball, they play their game, they should be able to take care of business, but it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means.
And that's true about, you know, this is SEC baseball. And I know that Missouri is sitting, the record is what it is. But if you look at Missouri, they've had opportunities to win games and they just couldn't close them out. But sort of what you're saying there, baseball being baseball, a bounce of the ball here or there, and they could easily be a team that, you know, 6-7 wins. And not that that's a great team, but that's a team that you certainly wouldn't just say, well, you can just show up and beat them. Especially when you're Mississippi State, which, you know, if you think back, they were sitting at 7-14. Now they've put together a great stretch here and have a chance to finish on a high note. But There's also the chance that it could get away from them. I feel like Parker, he talked about this a little bit in his press conference on Saturday, that, them losing kind of made his job a little easier this week. It would have been difficult as a coach to convince your team that a team that's 0-27 posed any real threat to you. It's a much easier job when you say they just swept Texas A&M. That was the preseason number one team in the nation. That was a team that had been playing better baseball as of late, and they went up into their house and swept them. And now they're going to be at home and they're going to be excited. And so we have to be focused. So I think that's a really, I think that Missouri winning was the best possible thing for Mississippi State. Now, State announced its pitching rotation just a little bit ago. And you and I are both surprised that there's no changes to it whatsoever. So that means for the second straight week, Pecos Conn will pitch on a short rest. He is scheduled to go on Thursday, Cieri on Friday, Carson Ligon on Saturday. You and I worked out a bunch of possible scenarios for State on the show the other day. And I mean, they could do this and they could do that. And instead, they just went old reliable. How surprised are you that Pico's getting that first start?
I'm a little surprised because he's coming off a short rest the week before, and now you're doing it again here by him pitching on Thursday, and he appears to me to be a little fatigued. I kind of thought that they would probably switch him around and maybe Cieri on Thursday or even Ligon on Thursday or maybe not Ligon because that would be extreme short rest, but maybe change it up and put a Noah Sullivan in there on Thursday. I thought they might change it around a bit, but they're sticking with what they got. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. I think pitching is the most important thing for Mississippi State this weekend because this is a Missouri team. They're capable on the offensive side of the ball. They're not
They can
great.
score runs, yeah.
They're not great on the offensive side of the ball. And for most of the year, they've been around the bottom of the league in most categories. But you score 9 runs against Texas on Friday. You score 10 against Texas
A&M.
on Sunday. They scored 10 against Ole Miss earlier this year. They struggled against Georgia. They struggled against Alabama, and other teams, but they have shown that potential offensively this year. And if Mississippi State's able to pitch it pretty well and defend well this weekend, I think they're going to hit. It's kind of. They gave up 2 runs in 2 games against A&M, but I think State's offense is better than A&M from a numbers perspective. They definitely are. And so I think State's going to be able to hit in this series. To me, the biggest thing for them is being able to pitch it and have shutdown innings and do what we've been talking about. They haven't been able to come back from those good offensive innings and have a shutdown inning. If State has a 3 or 4 run inning this week, they need to come back that next inning and shut them down. And end any kind of threat, because that's the way that Missouri is going to be able to win games in the series is Mississippi State letting them hang around. I think State's got to come out and just kind of choke it out of them at the end of the day and just find a way to get a lead and hold it. And it's not about style points this weekend at all. It's about finding a way to get at least 2 wins, and if you can find a way to get 3 and secure your spot, I think that's huge.
You got to have a real strong stomach to look at Missouri's pitching stats.
It's bad. It's
Well,
really bad.
let's just take our listeners through it. So Missouri's ERA as a team is 8.82. WHIP is 1.94. Again, if you're not familiar with what WHIP is, walks and innings per inning, walks and hits per innings pitched. So what that tells you is that on average, two people get on base per inning against Missouri's pitching. That's rough. You want to be around one. You'd like to be under one. As I mentioned yesterday, we were talking about JB Middleton. His WHIP for the year is under one. That's how you win. Teams are hitting 308 against Missouri. That's really bad. The
308.
strikeout to walk is not even 2-1. It's 422 to 271. So that's just like what, like 1.3-1. So basically, for every strikeout, they're giving up a walk. That's kind of similar to remember what State did a few years back. May have been even worse. Of their pitchers that have pitched double-digit games, the lowest ERA on the team is Will Libert at 5.85. They have one, two, three, four, five, six pitchers whose ERA is in double digits. A lot of those guys haven't thrown a ton of innings, obviously, but When they've gotten out there, it hasn't been great. The bulk of their pitching, their ERAs are between 5.85 and 9.95.
Not great.
Eek!
Eh.
Yeah. I'll let you have that one. That gross. Absolutely
Yeah.
disgusting. So yeah,
Now,
I think you're correct that Missouri's ballpark, as I recall, is a bit of a hitter's park as well.
it
So
is.
yeah, I think there will definitely be some runs this weekend.
There is an interesting caveat to that. Sam Horn, one of their most talented pitchers, which is a guy that's fighting for the quarterback job there
Yeah.
too. He was out with Tommy John most of the year. He's back. They've been getting him some innings. He started four games this year, and his first couple of games weren't great. He pitched an inning against Alabama and gave up four hits and five runs. But they've tried to extend him a little bit the last 2 weeks. He threw three innings against Georgia, didn't give up a hit or a run. He walked a guy, struck out five. Last week, he pitched 2 2/3 and gave up no hits, no runs, and a walk, and struck out five and two and two-thirds. And he was going to be extended beyond that, but I think rain came in and ended his stint. I expect him to start one of these games, potentially Friday, probably, against Evan Seary. I don't – you probably don't stretch him beyond five innings, I wouldn't think. He's probably on a pitch count, if I had to guess. But he's a guy that could get them off to a really good start, and that changes their rotation a little bit. It changes their whole weekend if he's able to get them five innings or so, because they essentially they have two more freshmen in their rotation, and it has not been great. Brady Kylenbrink has a 9.68 earned run average on Friday nights, and Will Libert has a 5.85. Both those guys are lefties, and the numbers aren't great, but they're low to mid 90s fastball. The stuff plays really well. I think that they have a chance to be pretty good. Right now, it's just not there for them. We'll see. I think State certainly has a good chance to take those games if they come out and they pitch those games extremely well. I think the offense, the way the offense has played for the most part for State the last few weeks, I think they should have a good weekend. They should have a better weekend than A&M.
Yeah.
They scored eight runs and 26 innings or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. But Sam Horn certainly is a guy to watch if they do get him some extended innings this weekend.
I wonder if we'll see our old friend Xavier Lovett, former Diamond Dog on this team. He got a save last weekend in game one of that series with Texas A&M.
He's one of their most used relievers. He's thrown 19 innings on the year, which is second most to Brock
19
Lucas.
Games.
19 games, sorry.
Yeah.
And has been solid. I mean, 6.17 on an average is not great, but this is probably one of his better seasons he's had. And been around for a long time. He went to Texas A&M and then ended up there at Mizzou.
Yeah.
So yeah, I
decent player. Yeah.
Fully expect to see him.
Yeah. Big series for Mississippi State. We will recap everything on tomorrow's show. So we will record after the game on Thursday night for your Friday podcast. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the older brother, both right there next door to each other, two of Robbie and I's favorite places to go. And they will be one of your favorite places. I can't imagine there's a whole lot of you guys listening to this podcast that haven't made at least one trip to Two Brothers. So you know what we're talking about there. If you haven't been to the older brother yet, you need to go check it out. That is the best new restaurant in Starkville, as far as I'm concerned. I love a trip to both of those places, and I am frequenting there pretty often. So if you are in Starkville, if you're going to be around the Cotton District around lunchtime, dinner time, you know where to go. It's Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that for 50 years.
That's it, brother.
It's short, sweet, and to the point. That's what we like. What we like.
Just the old reliable.
There you go. When you need technology for your business, the number to call is Advantage Business Systems. They'll take care of you with a great product. But more importantly, they're going to back that product up with service after the sale. Anybody can sell it to you. Who's there for you when you need it? That's the business you want to go back and do repeat business with. So give them a call today. 601-361-362. Where did 861 come from? 9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you need to shop at Maroon & Co. If you're not, then shop online at maroonandco.com, and you can get great MSU gear like this polo I'm wearing right now. You could have this right now, and you just have to go to maroonandco.com or to Maroon & Co. to order it. And, of course, use our promo code, Thunder15, to save yourself 15% off that purchase. Online or in-store, it doesn't matter. You can use it there. Get something for Dad at Maroon & Co. That's what he's looking for. Dad right now, I'm just telling you, everything you're thinking about, scrap it. Get Dad a new MSU polo. He'll be happy. Get it at Maroon & Co. This weekend, if you're going to be out in the yard, before you do anything, you need to head over to see our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, because they have everything you need. Keep your yard looking great. Keep your house looking great. Keep the grilled meats looking great. It's all right there at Scruggs under one roof. And it is the John Deere Drive Green Spring Sales Event. 0% financing for 48 months on the powerful John Deere Gators or commercial mowers. Plus, get 0% financing up to 72 months for all John Deere compact tractors. Don't miss out. Offer valid through June 2nd. See your dealer for details. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. Or shop online, scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you need for less. All right, earlier today, I talked to Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball to get his thoughts on this Mississippi State baseball team and, more importantly, the coaching search. Let's go now to that interview with Aaron Fitt. Mississippi State baseball, obviously a lot going on both on the field and around the program right now, so we're going to keep having guests on to talk about it. Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball, one of the top voices in college baseball right now. And Aaron, let's start with the team itself and what they're doing right now. They're 6-1 since the decision to move on from Coach Lemonis, playing, I think, pretty good baseball, and now have put themselves in position to be in the NCAA tournament. Your last bracket projection had them in the Tallahassee Regional, which was, I don't know if you want to go there the way they're playing right now, but in is better than not. What's the ceiling on this team the way they're playing right now? Could they make a run similar to what, you know, you think about the last time State had an interim coach, they ended up in Omaha. I don't know if that's possible, but what do you think about this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's possible. You know, there's a reason this was a preseason top 25 team. I mean, we liked the talent heading into the year, and you know, I think now they're playing more to what we expected, you know, heading into the season. I mean, I think for me, I look for teams in the postseason that are strong in the bullpen. And I think that's, you know, maybe Mississippi State's biggest strength is it's a really good bullpen with a lot of depth and power arms and variety. And, you know, and I think the starting pitching is solid enough. I mean, and the lineup is solid enough. I mean, it's not like, you know, there are better lineups, but I think, you know, you've got some guys who've done some damage. Obviously, Ace Reese has been a revelation, you know, as they thought he would be. But I mean, he's been awesome in conference play and really carrying a big load there. So, yeah, I think they're a pretty balanced club, you know, and certainly I think they're capable of making a run to Omaha, you know, and any kind of SEC team, you know, with preseason top 25 talent. I mean, if they're playing well at the right time, any of them can do it.
I don't think it could have gone better for State last weekend. They win the series with Ole Miss, but more importantly, I thought, was Missouri getting off the schneid. I thought there would have been a lot of pressure on State if they had come in and Missouri was 0-27. Did you have to sweep them? Now it's just about winning the series. If State can win this series, can they push up into being a 2 seed, do you think?
Possibly. I mean, right now in the RPI, they're, what, 32? I think if they sweep, they get to 15-15. That you're probably looking at a 2 seed, remarkably, for a team that looked dead in the water a few weeks ago. You know, I mean, that RPI will be roughly where it needs to be, I think, especially if they win a game or two in Hoover. And yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right now in that 2-3 line right now, which is, again, kind of remarkable.
You've had a chance to talk to Justin Parker in the past, and I think he's very impressive. I don't think he's going to be the next head coach at Mississippi State, but do you think if he has a successful run here, he'll be a head coach somewhere else next year?
I mean, I think if it kind of depends, you know, what kind of job he wants to take. I mean, you know, most likely he'll wind up probably being a pitching coach somewhere else in the SEC. I don't know that he's going to get another SEC job, and he might, but I think he could be a really good, like, high mid-major hire as a head coach. I mean, and And maybe he gets the Mississippi State job. Who knows? If they just keep on winning, I mean, at some point, it becomes hard to ignore. So, let's say they get to Omaha. I mean, I think you ride with that guy, don't you? I mean, I would. I know that they're interested in big game hunting, and the fans want a splashy name. But I mean, it's not the same as Gary Henderson, where Gary was kind of on the backside of his career, and maybe more of a understated personality, and maybe just not quite what they were looking for at that time. But Parker's still kind of a rising star in the coaching ranks, and so I think if he proves that, hey, we can get this team to Omaha, maybe even if they don't get to Omaha, if they, let's say they make a super regional, I don't know. I mean, I think he deserves a really hard look. I mean, he's a very talented coach.
I've been surprised. I knew this job would have some interest, but the level of names that are being thrown out by you guys at D1 has even caught me off guard. And I asked Kendall this question a couple of weeks ago, so I'll ask it to you. But it seems like, you go back to 2018, Chris Lemonis wasn't on anybody's original hot board. That was not a name people were talking about. But that ends up who's the coach. So I asked Kendall, who's the Lemonis of this hire? And he said, it won't get to that for Mississippi State. He seemed really convinced they're going to get a big name coach. Do you have that same level of conviction?
I think they probably will because of the timing. I think that helps, the fact that it happened. I mean, we didn't love that it happened in the middle of the season, just because on a personal level, we like Chris Lemonis. I mean, who doesn't like Chris Lemonis? But I get why they did it, and it probably does give them a nice head start on this whole process. And so, I think the timing makes it so that they could probably really go get a big fish if that's the route, and if it doesn't wind up being Parker. I mean, there's a lot of interest in this job. There really is, and there should be. I mean, it's as we all know, it's the best facility in the country, and it's incredible fan base, and they won a national title. They've got pedigree, all that stuff. It's got a lot to offer, and so I'm not surprised by the names Kendall's been throwing out there and hearing around this thing. It's going to be a fascinating search. It really will.
Couple of the names we talked about earlier in the week, which were only like the first hot boards that came out, were Chris Pollard and Mark, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Mark Wazowski at Oregon.
Wazikowski,
Wazikowski, thank you. There we go. I needed that. I needed
yeah.
that. And those were like the early names. And then you started hearing, well, no, Brian O'Connor might be a name of interest, and Wes Johnson might be a name of interest. And they've kind of fallen back a little bit. If State misses on a guy like an O'Connor or a Wes Johnson, those feel like really good, safe fallback options for State. What's the interest level
Yeah.
maybe for those two guys?
Yeah, Pollard's an interesting one because I think he'd be a slam dunk hire for anybody, any job in the country. I just think he's an absolute stud. I mean, look at what he's built at Duke, a place that hadn't been to a regional in like 55 years before he got him there. And since then, they've been a mainstay in the postseason. They've won three regionals. They've been knocking on the door to Omaha at Duke, and some of the worst facilities in the ACC, really. I mean, they were playing in the Durham Bulls Park for a while, and it's AAA Park, the giant AAA Park, and you get 300 fans there. It was not ideal either. And now they're back on campus. But I will say this for Pollard. I mean, he lives right around the corner from me. I know him pretty well. He likes it here. I mean, he's had chances to leave before. I think he probably could have gotten the Miami job if he'd wanted it. Rice at the time was a big name job when it first came open after Coach Graham retired, and he could have had that job. But he likes Duke. I mean, he likes living in Durham. I think his kids are getting older though now. I mean, maybe we're I don't know how old they are exactly, but maybe toward the end of their high school careers, and maybe that's a factor that would make him more likely to move on. But I mean, if they're still trying to finish up, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he wants to displace his family while his kids are still in school. That's just, I haven't heard him say that, but that's my read on it. But he's an interesting name, and Wazikowski, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's a West Coast guy, for sure. But I mean, he's also coached in the SEC. I believe he was on Andy Lopez's staff at Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to double check that. It's been a while, but I think he wins everywhere he goes. And he's got kind of an SEC mentality to him, and he's an SEC level recruiter and developer. I mean, he's gotten Oregon to back-to-back supers, and they might get to Omaha this year. I mean, he's won a lot. And you look at kind of the Jay Johnson model, a West Coast guy that came to the SEC, and I was kind of wondering how that would work out. And it's worked out great. So I think Wad would be another absolute slam dunk. I mean, either one of those guys, you're getting a really good coach.
What about Butch Thompson? What are your thoughts on maybe him making the move
Yeah.
back to Starkville?
Yeah. I mean, another one, like it's a home run if you can get him. I mean, obviously he really likes where he's at Auburn, but has a lot of fond memories in Starkville too. So, that's certainly would be at the top on my board as well.
Let's do it. Let's do this. Tell me who you think is the most likely best candidate. The guy you think would be the absolute floor. Like if state fails everywhere else, they can know they can get this guy. And then who's the most likely candidate in your opinion? As we sit here right now, we've still got a few weeks left before this hire is even going to be. You got the content we're getting out of this is fantastic. I know you guys love
I'm sure Kendall really loves it. He lives for this stuff.
it. Yes.
I'm not as good at the speculation on this stuff as he is. That's really Kendall's department. But any one of those names that we just talked about. I think that the Pollard Wasikowski here would make a lot of sense to me. That feels like, Waz kind of feels like the guy for me. I don't know. I'm just, again, I haven't spoken to Waz. I have no idea what his interest level is. I would imagine he's pretty interested. If I had to pick a name today, maybe that's who I'd go with. I kind of like that fit. Butch, is another one that all these guys, they're all really good names. It's a good situation to be in for Mississippi State.
It's really crazy how much more interest there seems to be with this in this hiring cycle. And I don't know why that is, but more so than there was in 2018. You go back to 2018 and Schlossnagel was mentioned, Dan McDonald was mentioned. I think Butch might have had a little bit of interest at that time, but not a whole lot. This time it seems like every big name that would, nobody's going to mention Vitello, I don't think, or Jay Johnson coming over from LSU. But outside of that, I mean, Wes Johnson, especially, that one caught me off guard. I guess my question is, why is there so much interest this time around as opposed to 7 years ago?
That's a great question. I wonder if it was just because 7 years ago, again, the timing was different. I mean, that was, at that time it was at the end of the World Series, right? I mean, it was
They
a
held on to
much later
Henderson the whole
start.
way, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wonder if that's it. Or I think they just also they went really big game hunting and none of those kind of panned out. And just for whatever reason, I don't think it's because those guys weren't interested. It's just they wound up deciding that they were happy where they were because they had great jobs, right? And so I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think it was a lack of interest last time around. It just the fit didn't quite happen the way they wanted it to. And I think this time it probably will.
I've been making these jokes that, Schloss, or not Schlossnagel, O'Connor and Wes Johnson have both denied it. So I assume they're both going to be the head coach here
Yeah,
next year.
right.
But we're going the Schlossnagel route with that particular thing. We'll see what happens. And I'm sure we have to talk to you again between now and then. Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball Man, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
So, Robbie, just to follow up on what you and I talked about the other day, I asked him about Pollard and Mark Wazakowski. Wazakowski, there's another syllable in there we've been leaving out. Wazakowski, he liked both of those hires for state. If I don't think he wasn't conceding like a Wes Johnson or a Brian O'Connor, but he said if they, I basically he says if it got to those two guys, they would both. He thinks they would both kill it at Mississippi State.
No, 100%. I put those two on my initial hot board, like I said yesterday, because it made sense. And I think both of them would take the job at Mississippi State, and I would love to see what they did with those resources. I just don't know how realistic a hire is of like a Wes Johnson. Brian O'Connor, I think it all depends on whether or not he can pull himself away from a place he's been for, 3 decades now. But those two are very realistic hires and would be very good hires. I think the first emergency podcast we did, one of the first guys I talked about was the most realistic hire that I think would be the best was Chris Pollard. I think Wazakowski is the same way. I think both of those guys have been, program builders and they've been winners now at the two programs that they've been at. And, for Wazakowski took over a program, like I said yesterday, at Purdue that was just not great at all and was steadily building that up into a respectable program. And then he goes to a bigger brand, a place that I think now has a few more resources than what he was getting. And you're seeing what he can do. Now, what would he do with even more resources? I think fundamentally, those guys have everything you want out of a coach. You want your team to play good fundamental baseball, they're going to do it. And I think that they would be able to recruit the portal. They'd be able to recruit to Mississippi State extremely well too. So yeah, 100%. I think that either one of those guys would be great.
I also asked him, we talked about Parker a little bit and could possibly he end up getting the job. And he's in agreement with us that it would take a deep run into Omaha to even be considered. But he made a good point about, what happened 7 years ago. He's like, Gary Henderson at that time, older coach towards the end of his career. Parker's still a young guy. He's going to be a head coach someday. So it's possible that at the end of this, that Mississippi State decides that's the way they want to go. I think he and I were in agreement that unlikely, but it makes sense why it would make more sense now than it did 7 years ago to hire Gary Henderson.
It is a much different situation. Gary Henderson was kind of a twilight of his career kind of guy, and I didn't see that as the right move for Mississippi State, because we've seen Gary Henderson, and with the new age of college baseball, how would he have done in that venture? I just didn't think it was a good idea, and John Cohen agreed. But Justin Parker is a little more upside. Than and maybe a lot more upside. A guy that I think is going to be a head coach. He has obviously has the demeanor, I think, to be a head coach. The way he's handled the media, the way he's talked to us, the way he's managed things so far. He looks like a guy that's fit to be a head coach. And I think that that's a possibility long term for him. And I think sooner than later. I just don't know if that's the right thing for Mississippi State right now.
Agreed.
And Zach Selman will be the one to make that move, but for me personally, he would be down the list a little bit. I would try to go get an established head coach first, before I even talk about that.
And it, again, he has to make that deep run into the postseason to even be
100%.
considered. So,
Yeah,
speaking of Zach Selman,
you can't just have a regional run and
No.
nobody's going to be up for that.
All right, speaking of Zach Selman, news broke earlier today that Mississippi State Athletic Director had signed a contract. Apparently, he was, in fact, job hunting. This job. He was hunting for more security at this job. So he's gotten an extension and a raise. Also, not long after that, Mississippi State announced a new $1 million gift towards the Howard practice facility. You and I both know that Zach Selman will be ultimately judged by hiring and firing specifically for football. And we both know that, year one for Jeff Lebby was not what anybody wanted it to be. So let's just, that's the big one. That's the biggest piece of the pie when we look at Zach Selman. Everything else that Selman has done in terms of getting the master plan done and raising money and things of that nature, I feel like he's done a really good job. Now he has to get football in the right spot, but I don't have a lot of complaints about Zach Selman's tenure here at Mississippi State.
Well, we heard for so long, like, so many people talking about, like, they were hearing some bad things, and they were very concerned about this and that. And, like, I just have not seen that from Zach Selman. There's not a whole lot of red flags to me. We've had our differences, obviously, and we've talked on this podcast a lot, like, how much is he listening to the fan base? Is he tuning people out or not? And I think he's putting a lot of that to rest. He's doing a lot of things that this fan base has been clamoring for. When you look at the IPF, you look at raising funds for NIL. It was talked about very early on in the process about how Mississippi State needed to be proactive in NIL, and John Cohen just was not that. They were not prepared at all.
I think you have forgotten about signing baseballs.
Yeah, I know. That was
Game changer.
revolutionary. I think that what we've seen from Zach Selman is a guy that is very strategic in what he has planned for Mississippi State, and it's a long-term deal. And that's, to me, that should excite Mississippi State fans that this guy has not only has he signed this extension, he wants to be here for 4 more years. He's developed his own master plan. He's putting facilities in place. That was kind of my concern with Selman when he was first hired. Is he using this job as a stepping stone to get to the next one? And the rumors swirling around, he's interviewing for other jobs, he's looking at other positions. When you don't really have anything, to hang your hat on at this point, and we're talking about last year or so, other than, the Jeff Lebby thing, it was kind of concerning. Like, is he really looking around? And what you're coming to find out is he has really taken a step back and he's looking, he's surveying the landscape. He's looking at things that he needs Mississippi State to be better at, and they're going out and improving it. They have a 10-year master plan for facilities. They've raised millions of dollars in funds for the State Excellence Fund and now the IPF and other facilities. He has done a really good job at fundraising. The jury is still out on the coaching thing. The only guy he's really hired that's been able to show anything right now is Jeff Lebby, and he went 2-10. And then Coach Zimmerman, I think has a chance to be really good at soccer, but that's another hire of his that we'll have to watch.
We're waiting. We got to see. Yeah.
And now this one, and I, at most places, especially in the SEC, you will be judged on what you do at these revenue sports and basketball and football. But in Mississippi State, I think that is the truth here too, but I think you have to add in baseball. This fan base cares too much about baseball to not include that into the he will be judged list.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very important sport to this fan base. They will be upset if this hire doesn't work. He will be blamed for it.
Yeah.
So this hire is huge for him. This is probably the second biggest hire that he could make with this fan base.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. So
basketball makes more money, infinitely more money. I understand that. But in this fan base, in the interest of this fan base, they will judge him more by that baseball hire than they will basketball, women's basketball, or anything else outside of football. So this hire is absolutely huge. I think he understands that. I think he knows that with this fan base, he has got to be able to get some grace with them with this hire and make a very good hire, a hire that's going to be competitive nationally, that's going to take Mississippi State back to national relevance. The baseball hire is big for him, but as far as what have you done lately, Zach Selman's done a lot. He's raising a lot of funds. He's giving you a new IPF. He made the coaching change that everybody was clamoring for when they said he wouldn't. And next in line is this baseball coach. But I think a right move by Mississippi State to show their commitment to him, so he shows even more commitment to them. Yeah. I think this was the right move.
I agree. All right. Like I said, tomorrow's show, we'll recap Mississippi State. It's a baseball game with Missouri. Plus, we're going to have a conversation tomorrow with former Mississippi State Diamond Dog Cole Gordon. I want to talk to him about playing for an interim coach and what that does to a team, and you know, get some insight from him because he was part of that 2018 team and how things turned around for them there. So we'll do that on tomorrow's show. Looking forward to that. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday morning. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.